listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, December 6th. If you can believe it, my name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. As always, I'm very glad to be here.
So glad to have you. So glad to see our regulars in the live chat and so happy for those joining us in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, Dr. Vicki, tonight our topic, vortexes and wormholes. Very interesting. Now, I wanted to focus on Star Trek Deep Space Nine and the wormhole to the Gamma Quadrant, but apparently we're going to be talking about something else. So, what do you have in mind?
Well, you know, vortexes always interest me anyway. You know, I'm a big Sedona, Arizona fan where there's all kinds of vortexes and great energy. But, you know, just to give you a definition of a vortex, and I am going somewhere with this, Michael, so stay tuned. An energy vortex in this definition is like a special spot where energy is either entering or projecting out of the Earth. So they call them energy spots. And generally speaking, if you're around Sedona and you see these twisted kind of plants, there's usually a vortex there, like these energy spots. They're all over the world. The Great Pyramid, Machu Picchu, you know, Stonehenge.
Do these have anything to do with the ley lines?
You know, it does. And in fact, I was reading up on that too. It's where there's a connection between the Earth's ley lines and where there generally are energy centers. Or, you know, and again, that's not a scientific fact. It's a speculative kind of spiritual belief or philosophy, Michael. So that's, you know, it's what people kind of think of or what they believe.
Right.
So, for instance, I'll just read this to you. Energy of ley lines have been thought to exist since ancient times in places where they meet at a 90-degree angle and believed to be places of spiritual significance. So believed that ancient cultures built sacred sites on these energy spots and aligned them with the Earth's energy at points, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what is it, Easter Island is directly across from the Great Pyramids? You know, across one side of the Earth to another, and, you know, these balance points of energy. So, but again, how do you measure the energy? Well, this is where
right.
I'm leading into something. So this is the segue. And what really prompted me to want to talk about wormholes and the relationship, you know, to the vortexes is very recently, And if anybody is a Skinwalker Ranch fan, you know, I wasn't for a long time, you know, but I started catching up on it. And this season is blowing my mind. They're doing a lot of experiments over what they call the Triangle. And they do notice that that area gives off a 1.6 gigahertz of sound. Which is, and when they play that resonance, they'll see some kind of activity, like an orb, you know, or something happens. And a lot of times when they shoot up these rockets, because they're trying to measure things and see what happens, the rocket will actually go sideways. It'll never go straight up. So they have seen these kind of, through all kinds of lenses and cameras and, you know, new high-tech stuff that they're using, there's, you know, they can see these energy things in the sky just above that. So here's the point. One of the experiments, and again, with pictures and sound, 10,000 feet up, they lost 1/4 of a second of time. Now, we think, well, what's a quarter second? But in the measurements of time, and it's what they talk about in the show, it's what Albert Einstein would claim is evidence of a wormhole when time is altered. So if you think what they've kind of speculating now is there's, if you think of an hourglass,
right,
there's this hourglass energy. And at 31 feet is when all the rockets kind of blow up. Nothing goes beyond 31 feet. And whenever they've taken a helicopter over things, oh, man, all kinds of weird stuff happens. They start to feel sick or the equipment jams up, you know, all kinds of weirdness.
So, alien interference. I think that's a fact. So, okay.
So, but the other thing that they use this LIDAR detector, which is showing, you know, basically heat and light. This is another thing. But right in the center of this area is black. It's not measuring anything. So you've got all this yellow and orange as a circle if you're looking straight down on it. But there's a black thing, which is another indication. There's no data there, basically. Another indication of a black hole. And so it gets weirder because in another area, they were using all these GPS trackers to go through. And when they showed up these pictures, the 3D images, the GPS hotspots were actually under the earth, not just on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, there's a story being told here.
Yeah.
So, with this GPS tracker, you got the black hole, you know, there's no data on that. You've got 31 feet up, everything kind of blows up, or it kind of sways off because it won't go through. You know, it's just a number of things that they're now believing this could be an interdimensional portal. So the last show that I watched, I mean, it's quite mind-blowing. They did a big meeting and they re-showed the footage. It's the first time they've had on film while some of these experiments are going on, helicopters up, you know, taking pictures. One of these UAPs went through the mesa. It entered one area of the rock and came out the other area, like right through the rock. They believe it's the first recorded film of a UAP passing through rocks, which is what the indigenous people of that area say all the time, that they just go into the mountain, you know, and they just come out of the mountain. So there's another area at Skinwalker Ranch where they've been trying to dig tunnels and they come up to a dead end inside where there's fragments, they're very small fragments of something they can't penetrate, a metal that nothing will penetrate. So they're wondering, you know, curious what's in there. So when you think about, at least this is what I'm thinking about, that area is, you know, obviously filled with energy. Oh, one more thing I have to say, Michael. When they had some indigenous drummers there at this one area at the mesa playing the old ancient songs that would be for the space people. Things started happening. People were coming. They saw images of beings, what they call a skinwalker, whatever. But the UAPs came out. Everybody started feeling really nervous and gave it up. So when this last experiment, when they're sending up these really powerful rockets, and this one last superpower rocket that they sent up was going at a Mach 2, and it disappeared. So instead of like the other rockets where they go sideways or blow up, this one went straight up, the biggest rocket they fired up, but it vanished. And they can't find any trace of it.
Oh,
giving another, that giving another kind of loan to the theory of interdimensional something.
So right. And
where did they come from? Right.
Absolutely. And, you know, you'd mentioned Albert Einstein earlier, and, you know, the theory of relativity comes into play so much because of how the way that we experience time and space is very relative to us. And, you know, you mentioned the, you know, was it half a second, quarter second of time difference? The fact that
it's
huge. Yeah, it is huge. And it's also when we're moving at different speeds, especially high speeds, and we're, you know, off the surface of the Earth, it is almost a separate time space. And that's why they have to account for this with satellites and things like that, because they're moving at just a slightly different point of time and space. And when I think about these interdimensional ideas and theories, it also seems to me that it could be, you know, it just seems to me that, you know, when you have a dimensional travel, it could be to something that we would define as our reality, but into a different point in time and space of our reality.
I agree. Any of those possibilities. What it is, though, and I encourage anybody, even watch the last couple of episodes if you can get access to it, of Skinwalker Ranch. It's really fascinating, this kind of data that they're getting that's new to us.
Mm-hmm.
as data. It's really, I mean, the folklore around it has been as ancient as you can imagine. You know, the philosophies, theories of all indigenous peoples all over the planet. But for science to get data to say this is lending to what some of us already know.
Right.
You know, or have been claiming to know. And so it's, to me, it's just so fascinating. Now, I'm not sure that every vortex is a wormhole. I'm not saying that. However, it does lend to that possibility of some other kind of flow of energy that's entirely possible in a way we can't imagine. So the science that's coming out, I mean, it's blowing my mind, which is another reason I wanted to talk about it. Anybody else have, you know, thoughts, please put it in the chat. And, you know, Dr. Zach is saying, he said, everybody, it's like they're trying to make contact. Well, of course they are. We just don't know how to interpret their frequency. And that's a really good point, Zach, because
it is.
In my reality, spiritual energy is at a different frequency. Intergalactic, extraterrestrial, that frequency is very different. Now, this is just in my experiences, having had a few. it's a different frequency that I know a lot of people claim to be sick when they've, you know, a skinwalker ranch, when they've been around certain frequencies. In my world, you adjust your frequency to be able to withstand the other energy. So it's kind of, you get used to it.
Yeah.
And you just kind of be free with adaptation. It rather than blocking it and making yourself sick. The first time I really did, you know, tap into that was through a client who I didn't know. I learned later, takes photos of UFOs all over the world. And he has a relationship. Well, next thing I know, I'm channeling all this stuff and spaceships and energy. But I was sick for a few days. And I had to have a little talk with myself and saying, what is that? So I can block it or I can go with it. So I went with it. And when he called a couple of months later, he said, I'd really like to have another session with you, but I don't want you to be sick or anything. And I said, no, I'm cool now. I adjusted my energy so that it can flow with me and I don't block it anymore, because, you know, it was a whole new thing for me. And so I think with going on in Skinwalker Ranch, why a lot of the indigenous people may have adjusted themselves, you know, to these frequencies, and they're very sensitive to the energy there. And they kind of know where to stay away from, how not to aggravate certain energy, irritate it, and they just kind of live, you know, in peace with aliens.
Right.
You know, again, we're speculating. This is just a discussion.
Absolutely. You know, largely speculative. I mean, it cannot be reproduced in a, you know, measured in way, in a measured environment. It makes it very difficult to scientifically measure. But, you know, we also have a lot of, you know, we have a lot of anecdotal experience. We have a lot of different encounters. And, you know, when we were talking, you know, when I first read Dr. Zach's comment in chat, you were talking about the different indigenous drums and the music, the beats that they were doing for, you know, what we would call extraterrestrial contact, make me think about, you know, perhaps the ancients, and again, purely speculative, yep, perhaps the ancients did know how to communicate with them better, sure, through different, you know, auditory frequency and things like that.
So I didn't really explain it well enough to say that they also played a recording of that in this last set of experiments. The recording of the drumming and the singing, along with the 1.6 gigahertz, along with they put up these drones to measure, and each drone had its own camera and stuff, and they got all the measurements and pictures of stuff later. And so it was the most massive kind of project they had done over the triangle, and it just created all kinds of stuff, and not just one orb, but there were several. And what they learned is they were traveling, and it in two different occasions with their infrareds, they were the information, and again they're saying you know, that's an intelligent activity to show a formation, which is again lending to somebody's driving it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Right. There's a thought process behind it, you know, agency decisions.
So, and we want to say, Dr. Mike is right here. He said, just remember the idea of wormholes is fascinating and has captured the imagination of scientists and science fiction enthusiasts. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's important to note that their existence and practicality are still open questions in the field of theoretical physics.
Absolutely.
So, absolutely. And that's why I think, again, the theory, I understand. But this new data coming kind of is lending more to proving some, or if not all, the theories could be correct. And again, I say could.
Mm-hmm.
I just got so pumped watching this. I thought, okay, kids, you know, they're bringing out, you know, the greatest amount of technology they know of. You know, and by the way, Skinwalker Ranch is not short of money. You know, so
yeah.
Brandon Fugel is, you know, the owner of Skinwalker Ranch, and, you know, he's chairman of Colliers International and, you know, a big real estate mogul, you know, all those things. So, you know, it's not running short of money and, again, political contacts to be able to do such intense experimentation. So.
Yeah.
That's what I can't wait to see what they do with this.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. We are coming into, you know, some new eras where modern technologies is allowing us to try to kind of investigate and probe into these different areas of thought. And when it comes to wormholes, great shout out, Dr. Mike, like you said. I mean, it is purely theoretical. And I think what we're talking about well, one thing that I was thinking maybe we could clarify, Dr. Vicky, do you have a good idea about the difference between wormholes and vortexes?
Well, You know, I don't know, Michael. I can tell you that, you know, there's several vortexes in Sedona. Mm-hmm. And, of course, some people say this is a feminine energy. This is a masculine energy. This is the balance energy. This is the difference. So, you know, I'm saying, well, who decided that? Well, so I've been to each of them enough times to feel it for myself. Now, right at Airport Road in West Sedona is what they call the masculine energy. And I get irritated there. every time I'm there, I start to feel this anxiousness. I mean, it's stunningly beautiful, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
And it's like breathtaking. But I start to feel antsy, you know,
yeah.
Slightly irritated. Now, the feminine one, which is down by Oak Creek, you have to go on quite a little walk to get to this little creek area. It's just so soothing and calming. Of course, there's water, too, there. But anywhere you are along that area, you just want to, you lose track of time. You just, whew, you know, sit and chill out and, you know, sense the area. And Bell Rock is known as the Balancer. That's my favorite one. There's all kinds of little spots on Bell Rock. You can sit and feel different energy. But you just kind of come out of there feeling refreshed. It's my absolute favorite place to be. No matter what kind of mood you might go into, you come out just feeling balanced. I can't explain it. And there's all kinds of weird things that happen.
Yeah.
And again, a lot of people say they have psychic experiences or, you know, there's lots of photographs, and I've seen them, where there's like kind of distortions, like a mirage kind of showing up in a spot. And again, it's open to interpretation. But I say, that's interesting, you know.
Yeah.
And so is that a correlation with a wormhole? I think, is there a wormhole? Could there be a wormhole around Sedona? Sure, I don't know. This, because that's beyond my scope. I'm certainly not a scientist. And I'm enough of a metaphysician grounded to say anything is possible. I just am not sure. And
oh, yeah.
But it's also known for all kinds of alien UAP activity. All kinds. So lots of people talk about it. My friend, and that's one of the reasons I first went to Sedona, aside from the fact that my daughter moved there, which kind of a connection. He kept telling me, the one with, you know, who knows aliens and takes pictures all over the world. He said, you have to go to Sedona. He told me that for 2 or 3 years. Yeah, I'll go. And then my daughter moved there. I said, of course I'm going. And he has so many pictures of UAPs, whether it's triangles, orbs, and other things.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't display them. He shares them rarely with people. Number one, he doesn't want to get hounded.
Yeah.
And he's done it for himself. So it's, you know, these pictures, he's privy to very few. But having seen them, I just go, wow, this is pretty amazing. And again, this is prior to Adobe Photoshop. I'll have everybody know. So,
well,
a long time ago with real cameras and then with his digital. And he doesn't do all that other fancy stuff to screw up pictures.
Well, you know, and I think that it was a lot harder to change in fake pictures back in the day. Definitely doable, yeah. But a lot harder. Yeah. And I think that that's exactly, we have to keep our, when something is unknown, we have to keep our minds open to the possibilities. And when we engage in what is admittedly speculation, it's largely a thought experiment. It's a mental exercise to kind of expand our minds to the possibility of what could exist.
You know, Dr. Zach has brought up a good point. He feels that wormholes are a tunnel between two points, where a vortex is just one way. Oh, it's just a thought.
It's yeah, true.
That's a good thought.
Well, actually, while we were talking, I actually took the liberty of doing a quick Google search, and according to the basic definitions, a wormhole is a hypothetical structure that connects two points in space-time, a tunnel with two ends at different points, and when I looked into a vortex, is a circular spiral motion. These are things that are, you know, very real life applicable. So think whirlpools, tornadoes, just a lot of different aquatic things. So I think that would lend itself to the idea. Vortex is one way, a wormhole in this speculative theorizing. Wormhole being a doorway back and forth, a vortex you get sucked into and spit out into a different dimension, you know? So some interesting thoughts.
It is. And, if anybody is alive, you can certainly see a great conversation going on here, and Dr. Mike and Dr. Edward adding all kinds of information here. Too much to read off at the moment. But
Dr. Edward's using the same AI browser that I am.
So, and again, Dr. Mike is saying, a vortex refers to a swirling mass of air, water, or other fluid that rotates around a center axis. And, yes, and, you know, of course, we can all, everybody, please, we encourage you to do research on your own. Do some Googling. Do some looking up things and, you know, start. Of course, Dr. Mike says it's important to bring in that Reacher. Session 2 starts on the 14th. I watch Reacher. I can't wait, Dr. Mike. Of course, a little off topic, but, you know, sidebar. And had to throw that in. If you haven't watched Reacher, it's a really good show. It's a series.
Well, hey, good shout out.
Yeah.
Good shout out.
You know, we're kind of multidimensional beings here, so.
Anyway.
Wendy said she took a picture of the chat so she can read it and check out the links later. So that's awesome. Good thing to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's a great discussion, and, you know, I think that Dr. Edward said great minds think alike when it comes to that. And Dr. Mike, thank you for your additions. I saw that up in the chat, too. And it's been a great discussion, you know, back and forth. And I just think that when it comes to, you know, when it comes to the journey that we're on as a human species and our constant evolution, our constant progress, a lot of times we think of that, all of these different possibilities, because it prepares us for the reality that we will perhaps soon experience. You know, I like the concept of a wormhole for interstellar travel.
Hey, Star Trek.
Hey, there you go.
Star Wars.
Well, Star Wars, that's like sci-fi fantasy. That's just like Lord of the Rings in space. There's no science to it. Midichlorians, get out of here. But nonetheless, it is good stuff. And I believe that science fiction and fiction in general, art has a purpose. It has a purpose beyond the very aesthetic. It has a purpose beyond making us feel good. Our fiction prepares us for different ways of thinking. Science fiction has become science fact over time. And it is an essential tool to, a sentient culture. But.
Well, I find this whole subject fascinating. That's why I wanted to share it kind of with you guys. And if you can catch up on Skinwalker Ranch, especially, look, I'm not saying, you know, certainly nothing in it for me to say, oh, go watch Skinwalker. But the last couple of episodes are particularly fascinating when it comes to the science and the measurements that they have and what they are speculating. So I'm just saying, I don't know. I think that, you know, Kevin's asking, can you be permanently suspended in a vortex? I don't think so. I don't know. I don't think so. But that's a good question, you know.
Well, pretty soon we're going to, you know, if there's some kind of supervillain, we're going to have to figure out how to imprison them, and suspending them in a vortex seems like a great idea. What's the problem?
Well, you know, this went by so fast. We're at that time, Michael. Like, half hour just goes by the snap of the finger here. Anybody like a couple of cars tonight? You know, we're ready.
Yeah.
So put your names in the chat and we'll try to keep up. But
I was just going to say, you know, while I'm getting the cards ready, definitely throw your name in the chat. Dr. Vicky, I'm going to send you a couple things in our chat so we can get ready for this. in Skype there. But no, it has been a great discussion, and I can't help but think about, you know, when it comes to Skinwalker Ranch, obviously there's a lot of sensationalism around that, but there's so much possibility and there's so much good, good firsthand accounts of people that are reasonable and that are what I would say trustworthy. So I think it is, you know, I think it's been a great discussion and I've enjoyed it thoroughly. So it is, it's good times.
By the way, Dr. Jeff messaged me the other day asking, he and his fiance are going to Sedona in the next week, and he asked what spots, and I haven't talked to my daughter yet, and I know where I'd like you to go, but she might also have some ideas when you're, so I can't wait. I'm going to get the lowdown from Dr. Jeff in a couple of weeks about
being
in Sedona, so that'll be awesome.
Very good, very good. Yeah. All right. Well, I think we got some names. Got some names. So I am just bouncing between chats here, and I see that I think Dr. Edwards is our first card.
Yes, that's what I have too.
All right. So, Dr. Edward, always a pleasure for you tonight. We have wild card number 7, Hope.
Hope lives. Start from.
It is. Excellent start. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope in and of itself does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last fail-safe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
Well, I got the Ten of Clubs. Now, essentially, the Ten of Clubs can feel like a struggle for a minute, but what's so good about it is that the goal is in sight, and it's just inching closer and closer to the goal. So if you've been having, you know, let's say, oh, a little trouble with something, and you feel, oh, it's kind of like having the flu and you think you'll never get over it, Michael. You know, it's like the end is in sight once the fever's over. So it's like there's just something here that you're working toward. It could be in matters of your health too. Oh, and Wendy says you've had that card a couple of times this year. So this is really encouraging for you, Edward, that, you know, the end goal is in sight. Things are so improving. And just keeping that hope alive. So even when you get tired, a little discouraged, ugh, you know, burned out, it's, you know, stay alert, stay intact, because it's all, you're almost there. Good one.
Good one. All right. So I think we have Dr. Jeff next.
We do.
All right. Dr.
Jeff. We just got back from Scotland, by the way. I have so enjoyed. He's on a little traveling trip, and the posts from Scotland were absolutely awesome. The pictures, the journeys, saying where they'd gone, and, you know, I got to say kudos to Jeff. He takes his seeing eye dog with him, and I guess, and even in the chats when on the post, the dog did amazing. So it's, I can't say enough about Jeff. It's amazing.
That is awesome. And apparently, Dr. Jeff, you've been in my ancestral homeland, because I thought I'd been Irish this whole time, but apparently I'm Scottish. Who knew?
Oh.
So I look at Braveheart in a whole new light. But nonetheless, Dr. Jeff, for you tonight, I have number 4, past, present, and future. It is in the self-responsibility suit. Let's see. Number 4, past, present, and future. The 3 universal laws of personal responsibility are, 1, you are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2, don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. 3, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor. Good card.
Oh, and well, and this has to do with relationships, Jeff. So it's the 2 of Hearts. So it's, you know, past, present, future, it's still working through, you know, as we let go of the past and we're working toward the future and living in that present and learning more about each other and gaining that trust and that bond and the exploration of the relationship. And I'm seeing here going to new heights, going into places you couldn't have imagined or couldn't have dreamed yourself. And you've had quite a journey the last 10 years, Jeff, and who you were 10 years ago to who you are now is like, whew, you know, reborn. And your partner as well. So, you know, it's like you're on a new journey. So it's those two hearts, that love keeps you together and that trust. And, you know, I couldn't be happier for you. That's very exciting. Building a future. It's great.
I am off mute. I am back. All right. So we have Dr. Zoran. Sorry, I'm horrible with pronunciations. Please forgive me. But for you tonight, I have number 33, preference over principle.
It's one of my faves.
I was going to say it's a favorite. A mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint. If it is a matter of preference, yield. If it is a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. It's important to know when and where to pick your battles. Be selective regarding the areas in which you invest your energy.
Well, Zoran, I got the hermit. Now, hermit's always introspective. You know, insights. You know, kind of think of Tibetan monks very often, you know, kind of meditating and going within and finding answers. So that preference and principle, it's sometimes we have to dig really deep and take ownership of things. I've had to do it a lot myself. It's what's my preference, what's my principle, and maybe it is you're working through changing some of your philosophies or your thinking, and that's a great thing. And I could be way off the wall here, but I think that there's something that you might be reflecting on at the moment, and I just see kind of what I'm seeing is a new light being born in you. It's very exciting. That's what I see.
Very nice. Very nice. Lost my list.
Kevin.
Kevin. All right. You have, number 39, education. I think it's been a little bit since we pulled this one. Let's see. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Committing yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you do not know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience, situations, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live.
Well, the Ten of Hearts has everything to do with family, everything to do with your community, and it could be extended family or friends you think of as family. So you're in a big learning curve, if you will, and changing the dynamic. And as I recall, you've had an estranged daughter come back into the fold, which that's a learning in and of itself, getting to know each other. And the dynamic changes and adds to it, so everyone is growing. And I find this a really positive push for you, Kevin, because, again, you know, we've all been through the program at IMHS and TFU, mm-hmm. and we learn a lot of little tidbits, and as Dr. Kelly would say, the nuggets, right? And the reassurance that we have the capability of dealing with anything, and all things are possible. So I think that this is a really good message for you, Kevin, and it's exciting. So it's an affirmation, in a will, if you will.
I like it. I really like it. All right. I believe we have Audra next.
We do.
And Audra, so happy to see you. Tonight you have number 18, evolution. All right, number 18, evolution in the existential suit. Evolution is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that change situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control. Resistance to change prolongs discomfort. But fear not. Personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you. Thus, entropy is lowered.
Well, in the page of diamonds, the page of pentacles, the pages are communicators, right? Yeah, it's the mm-hmm. bridge between minor and major arcana, and in this case having to do with the material world or finances, acquisitions, properties, and so on. So the evolution here for you is kind of being resourceful and communicating more about finances and what you have, taking inventory. And I'm going to go out on a limb, and something, a bonus coming to you, something extra coming your way here, Audra. So I want to say it's really encouraging. And for some reason, it's also even, again, one of my little flashes. In January or February, there could be talk of a new position, new job. So that's encouraging for you too. I'm just saying.
Hey, I like it. You just keep saying.
I got feedback on that one later.
All right. We have our card keeper herself, Wendy, next.
Hey, dude.
Whoop. Card's dropped. Excuse me. Hold on. Let me grab one real quick before the dog gets him. Hey, we have a wild card tonight. One that I don't know we pulled in a little while. Entropy. All right. Wild card number 6, entropy. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, or low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, or high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers their personal entropy and the world is a better place.
Well, and there's something kind of odd or kind of unusual here, Wendy. When you have the judgment card, that judgment declaration, it's an announcement or a proclamation in a way, something you want to tell the world. But when it comes to entropy, when it's partnered with that, sometimes we should keep things to ourselves. You know, in other words, don't share too much information too soon, before, because it might throw your energy off balance, you know, and the entropy kind of going in a fluctuation.
Yeah.
So I think that you're ready and willing to announce yourself, do things, and be bolder, but it's with whom you share that with, that, you know, you don't need anybody bursting your bubble and affecting your energy. So, boy, again, going out on a limb with that one. So you have to keep us posted, Wendy. And it could very well be at work, too. So, you know, the workplace is always filled with interesting things.
That's a nice way of putting it. It isn't that, though.
I think that's it. I think that's all we have. And
yeah.
Wendy said it herself, you know, the night goes by so fast.
It does. I can't believe we're 42 minutes in. It feels like we just started. But
we're going to have Wendy on either at the end of December or at the beginning of January. Is that right?
Yeah. I was doing a little brief messaging earlier today, this evening, in fact, and I think we're going to target for probably the last Wednesday of the month. That allows us to get all the cards in to do the tracking, but we're not gonna force her into it just yet. We're gonna keep it flexible, and we might do it the end of this month, beginning of next, so that we get the full year recap.
Yeah.
So that'll be good.
Puts me on notice to see what I have in the way of what has kind of for the tarot, what's repeated.
You better get on it.
I know. I've kept all my sheets. I don't track things like Wendy does. Like she's like super scientist there. I'm more the, you know, kind of all over the place.
Hey, we all have our different ways of operating, and we all have our different ways of contributing. But, well, as we wrap up this evening's discussion, it is unfortunately something that I feel that I should share with our group, because I just got notice, in fact, during this program, that that somebody we all care about, somebody we all love, Dr. Deb, had passed away yesterday.
Oh, and, don't do that. Really?
Yeah. Yep. And because she was such an important part of our group, and she was such a constant presence, and she, you know, always had so many contributions and kind things to say, I think it's important that I share that with the group and just relay that her son had reached out to us and she had passed yesterday. And, you know, I'm very sorry to hear that, but I'm also wishing her nothing but the best in the next phase of existence. And I will say that she will be missed.
You just took my breath away, Michael. So for everybody on the record, I didn't know. And I appreciated Deb. I know she went through quite a round of cancer treatments, but was on the other side of it and was so encouraging and positive and back to work. And, you know, and this has got to have a really hard impact on her family and all of us here. Bless her heart.
And I don't know that he'll hear, but her son Travis had reached out to us and he wanted us to know how much she, you know, loved us, loved this group. She had her diplomas very prominently displayed and she always spoke very kindly of everybody. So I thought I felt it important to share that. And I know
we all care
about her. So,
you know, again, it's one of those moments, isn't it, where life is so precious.
It is.
And, you know, we take it to heart, our group here, you know, and all the others listening in the archive, you know, we're connected in ever so many ways. And what happens to one happens to all. And we feel that and energetically. And I have to say my heart's beating a little fast at the moment. But
mine too.
But life is fragile. Life is precious. It's like right now, everybody. I next week, I want to talk about what we can do in preparation of Yuletide and bringing people together.
And I think it's
traditions,
great.
You know, little traditions that we can do to help bind us in these ever so special kinds of ways that we don't, you know, we cherish them. And because it reminds us of people. And, you know, Deb had an impact on all of us. And
she did. And I need you all to know how much I care about each of you and how much I look forward to seeing you, quote unquote, each week and how important you are to me. And I know Dr. Vicky too, and how much I value this group that we have and just thank you. And I know that my thoughts and our thoughts are going to be with her family. And as she begins this next journey, you know, our thoughts are with her too.
But absolutely.
Well,
On that note.
Gee,
you know.
I know.
Kind of beats that note, but.
I know, but.
I thank you. And thank you, Dad, for letting you know and letting us know. And that's an important thing. And again, I can't say this enough, everybody. It's at moments like this that wake us up, you know, wake us up. That.
It's all very fragile, like you said.
Like, she had come such a long way with such a fighter and the optimism, and then, you know, it just happens, and we never know. It's like, you know, my last talk with my doctor, and you know, talking about the high blood pressure thing, and I said, hey, I could get hit by a car. You know?
Yeah.
It can happen. And that's why, just the appreciation of, you know, we're still here.
Absolutely.
Together, so.
And treasure these moments, treasure each other. I treasure you, and I am very much looking forward to talking next week about preparation for Yuletide and how we can come together and how we can celebrate one another. So very much looking forward to that.
Absolutely.
Well,
on that note, hey, Michael.
I know, but I hate to end on a sad note, but I know that you would all want to know, and she was important to us. And she will be missed. But I look forward to seeing you all next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.